PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehong.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your Sunday program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. Very nice to have you with us for this, the 11th of February, 2018. And there's a few things, actually, that I do want to talk about on today's program. So let's begin right away with music, Mel Torme and Lover's Roulette.
What can I lose if I gamble again in the game of fools? If I take a chance on another romance, I know the rules. Here is my heart, you can start spinning the ball. Cover my bet, it's lover's roulette, winner take all. What can I lose when the cards are all dealt and the betting starts? What are the stakes when a joker can take the queen of hearts? Here is my life and my love, all I am worth. What can I lose when maybe I'll win heaven on earth? If I gamble again in the game of fools, but I'll take a chance on another romance, forget the rules. Here is my heart, you can start spinning the ball. Cover my bet, it's lover's roulette, winner take all. Cover my bet, it's lover's roulette, winner take all.
Mel Torme, beginning today's program of Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. And as I said, it's very nice to have you with us. Now, as you're probably aware, this past week, Taiwan was in the news, and that was because of a large earthquake that struck Hualien, which is on the eastern coast of Taiwan. It was a 6.0 on the Richter scale. It happened just after 11:45 in the evening, and here in Taipei, we actually felt it as well. Now, I actually should have been at work at that time, but I left early because I had some other things to do. So by the time it actually happened, I was at home. And we have an alert system here, which is a government alert system. And about 4 seconds, 4 to 5 seconds before we can actually feel it, a notice went out. And the shaking went on for maybe about 10 seconds. Now, here in Taipei, we felt it as a 4.3, which isn't very much. But the earthquake itself actually has done substantial damage in Hualien on the east coast. And since that earthquake, there have been a number of aftershocks that have happened. Now, we're only into February by, as of the recording of this program, 11 days. Well, actually, I should say that's 9 days because the program was recorded on the 9th of February, not the 11th. But just in the first part of February, we've had a record number of earthquakes measuring like 4 and 4.5 on the Richter scale. As of the recording of this program, somewhere around 80 or so. That is actually very unusual compared to last year around this time. Now, you actually may think that's a lot, but actually, it's a very good thing that we do have a lot of these smaller quakes, because the one that happened on Tuesday night would have been a lot more serious if it hadn't released the pressure. And here in Taiwan, we go through what they call a 10-year cycle for earthquakes. There's, of course, the minor ones, which happen all the time. And then we, of course, will have one big one. Now, this one is being considered kind of in the middle of medium and big. As I said, there was a substantial amount of damage, especially at one hotel in Hualien. Now, as I said before in the program, Taiwan is probably the safest place to be if there is an earthquake. Because there are actually, so far, again, these numbers probably will have changed after you hear it, but around 7 dead, 260 injured, but the injuries are not serious injuries, they're just like sprained wrists and broken ankles and that kind of thing, and around 60 people still missing. The thing is, you have to realize there's this, even though Taiwan has very strict earthquake codes, probably some of the strictest in the world, the building that collapsed this time round, but didn't fully collapse, it kind of, part of it collapsed, it was leaning to one side, the first three floors did, and the other big earthquakes that have happened in the last, well, since 1999, which was one of the biggest, they're, like I said, very high standards for earthquakes. They must withstand at 8. But the new earthquake standards only came into existence in around 1997. Now, buildings that were built in Taiwan from, well, the 1900s, going back to the, well, even further than that, the late 1800s, 1900s, the 30s, 40s, 50s are actually very strong, 60s, 70s as well. Now, the 1980s, that's where things kind of went awry, shall we say. You heard me mention before in the program, Taiwan was under martial law from 1949 until the mid-1980s. And that was around the time when martial law was lifted that Taiwan went through this huge, huge economic boom. So what happened from the mid-1980s to around the mid-1990s is there was a real drive to build, and standards were not always kept. It wasn't, like I said, until around 1997 that they introduced very strict earthquake codes. So the buildings that have collapsed over the last, say, three big earthquakes that we've had here have all been buildings built between 1984, 1985, until around 1998, 1997. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them, but a lot of them have been taken down. Now, we'll have to see actually what was going on with this one, if it was just shoddy work or the geology around where the hotel was built had actually changed over time. So we'll have to wait and see. But no, everything is okay at the studios here. Actually, nothing at all, except actually one glass that fell over that was on a shelf that somebody had left when we came in the following morning. The glass had fallen and shattered. That was really the only thing. But, well, we don't know. I mean, who knows? There could be another one as we record this program. There's probably going to be another one very soon, because that's the what normally happens here. But all he can do as well is just, you know, take it in stride, wait and see, and nothing you can really do. Not like you can control the earthquake itself and stop it from happening, you know. Anyway, enough about that news today. I just thought I would get that out of the way because a number of you have contacted us asking how things were, and yes, everything is fine. All right, time for music again, and when we come back, a couple of other things, but first, The Seekers and Love is Kind, Love is Wine.
Love is kind, love is wise, so much laughter in your eyes, and you know that I will love you till the last flower dies. Do you hear music far away? There's so much I'd like to say. Got a feeling oh so new, so I'm singing just for you. You are everywhere I find, in my heart and on my mind. Time is all I have, time for you.
Love is kind, love is wine, The Seekers. Now, a few other things, actually, that I want to mention. Next week's edition of Happy Station for the 18th of February is going to be a special program for Chinese New Year. Now, Chinese New Year's Eve is actually Thursday. That's the first day. So that's the 15th of February. And Chinese New Year continues until the 20th of February. And we this year are going into the year of the dog, the year of the dog. And of course, as a tradition here on the program, we always do a special for Chinese New Year, and that's what we have planned for the 18th. The other special program coming up for the month of February is going to be on the 25th of February, and that's for our lead up to the 90th anniversary in November. So the second anniversary program for the 90th anniversary of Happy Station will be on the 25th of February. What we have planned on that program, well, you'll just have to tune in. We're trying to set a theme for each of them. Now, the last time we did live music, of course, there's going to be some more music from Happy Station coming up on programs. But for the 25th, you'll just have to tune in. That's all I can say about that. So do tune in to our Year of the Dog program next week and our anniversary program the week after. Now, as we were going through the archives this week, we came across something rather interesting that was sent to the program many years ago. And we will take a listen to it. But first, a little music. Here's Madonna and Rain.
Rain,
Madonna and Rain here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Now, as we were going through the vast collection of Happy Station LPs and singles, there's actually a lot of things that we are planning to use on the program, and we have been using them from time to time. And there was one that was on the shelf that I had seen for quite some time. It was just always sitting there. It's a 7-inch single. Had a jacket that was slightly larger from a 7-inch single. And it was called Holiday in Oregon, The Sounds of the Fabulous Pacific Northwest. So I decided to give it a listen, and rather interesting and a lot of fun. Now, this was released at a time many, many years ago where you had states, cities, and other places around the world that would release a record that would be given either to tourists or as a way to promote tourism in that area. And that's exactly what this thing is. It's called Holiday in Oregon, The Sounds of the Fabulous Pacific West, and was produced by a very interesting record label, a record label that I hadn't heard about before until I saw it and I did a little bit of research and found out that they've actually only released three other recordings. Yes, the other recording was called Holiday in Washington, The Sounds of the Fabulous Pacific Northwest. And then another one, a few years later, The Fabulous Sounds of the Pacific Northwest, A Tonic of Tones to Pipe the Visitors Abroad. I think they meant to spark their interest abroad. The record label was Pacific Northwest Bell. Now this one, Holiday in Oregon, is actually quite interesting. There's a couple of very well-known voices on it. Bing Crosby, Jane Powell, and Mel Blanc. Now, Mel Blanc is the voice of many animated characters. He did many, many voices like Daffy Duck. What are the other ones? A lot of the Warner Brothers cartoons. Speedy Gonzales. The list is Bugs Bunny. The list is endless. Elmer Fudd, and so on. And he's also on there as well. So we're going to now take a listen to Holiday in Oregon, The Sounds of the Fabulous Pacific Northwest.
How about a vacation trip to Oregon this year? Sound like fun? Well, here's a platter of fun-like sounds to help make your holiday begin on a happy note. So sit back and follow the soundtracks of Oregon. To help steer you through this colorful Northwest Passage, we've commissioned a few well-known guides like Bing Crosby, Jane Powell, and Mel Blanc. Yes, it takes a real Western tune to cover the bigness of Oregon. But it takes a man who has kept America singing to hear the real music of the Pacific Northwest country. Let Bing Crosby tell you about it.
I like to remember the Pacific Northwest as a land that can put a song in your heart. You know, when I was a kid, a song was usually carried in a sort of an off-key whistle or through one of my missing teeth, which made the notes, of course, a little on the reedy side, the kind you might squeeze out of a freckled clarinet, but there was always some great counterpoint from the wind, whistling or whispering through the evergreens or a paddle dipping in a lake. Since then, I've been drawn back to my Pacific Northwest by some more robust sounds. You know, like the thrashing of a hooked trout that didn't want to leave Oregon, and the smack of a ball heading down some of those cool green fairways. You know, I used to play one course up there with a Hollywood friend of mine. But Bob took so many divots, they finally put a sign on the gate: "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." He was hopeless. Anyhow, if you'd rather swing on a star, I just did, or gather moonbeams up in a jar, you can really be better off than you are by hitting the road to the Pacific Northwest. Boy, it's a great way to discover America.
Yes, hitting the Oregon Trail is a great way to discover America. For history hasn't been paved over in this big country. In fact, there are places where you can still see the ruts made by the covered wagons as they headed west along that historic trail. You'll find bends in the Columbia River framed just about the way Lewis and Clark saw them. With a little imagination, you can walk quietly through McLaughlin House and see the shade of a fur trapper on hand to trade with the Hudson Bay Company. If you're more contemporary-minded, there's a host of regional spectator sports to enjoy, everything from colorful competitions of champion loggers. To the thunder of that old West classic, the rodeo.
Now,
and there's a new sound to be heard out in Oregon's Central Valleys this year, the exciting charge of America's best racing boat drivers, competing for the National Stock Outboard Championships on Prineville Lake in mid-August. How much more is there to see on your Oregon holiday? To find out, we assigned one of our guides to conduct a survey in depth and futility. Listen now to the voices of Mel Blanc.
Pardon, monsieur. I have been hired by the French government to find out why so many American tourists are spending their vacations here in the state of Oregon. Are you a tourist?
Si.
Excellent. Perhaps then you can tell me what you find so attractive about Oregon. Is it the miles of magnificent ocean beaches, the lovely summers, the hundreds of state parks, the great rivers, the towering mountains?
Si.
But, monsieur, can you be more specific? Perhaps you like the fishing, or hikes through the forests, or the cowboys in the rodeos. Maybe it is the Mount Hood, the Crater Lake, or the beautiful rose gardens of Portland.
Si.
Monsieur, my government, the people of France, have sent me to America at great expense to discover the real secret of Oregon. What shall I tell them? Is there nothing I can say to them?
Si. Come see.
Yes, come see. You'll find plenty of guideposts on this new Oregon Trail, lighthouses along 400 miles of seacoast, where morning mists disappear to unveil a Pacific surf unchanged since the days of Spanish explorers, and Sentinel Mountain peaks pointing the way to alpine campgrounds, resorts, and trout-stocked waters. Head cares off at the past with a visit to cattle country. There you'll discover Indian villages with rental teepees and dude ranches equipped with the original hi-fi, the harmonica. That was supposed to be the sound of a big salmon being boated at one of Oregon's many saltwater fishing holes. But it got away. No problem, though. You can find his cousin being served up in just about any one of Oregon's famed seafood restaurants. Stick around a while you're contemplating. We've got Jane Powell, a few strolling Shakespearean players, a bit of Haydn, and more sounds of Oregon on the other side. Portland, Oregon's City of Roses, takes a colorful bow during its annual Rose Festival. The rest of the year, it enjoys being a cosmopolitan world port, a place of waterways and mountains, a big city that always remains my hometown for those who leave. Film and TV star Jane Powell remembers it like this.
Hello, this is Jane Powell. Back in 1959, I did a show called Meet Me in St. Louis. Now, St. Louis is a fun town, and I enjoy doing the show, but if somebody wants to do a picture that's even closer to my heart, I have the title for them. Meet Me in the Great State of Oregon, because Oregon is where I come from. It's a marvelous place, a wonderful place to relax, and you won't find prettier country. Spectacular ocean beaches, lush green valleys, the beautiful Cascade Mountains, and over on the east side, the rolling hills of cattle country, horse country, wheat country, deer country, and lakes. Well, I haven't the slightest idea how many there are, but you'll never run out of a new one to visit. The people of Oregon make sure you have a good time, too. You've probably heard of their famous Rose Festival. Well, they have Indian festivals, water festivals, music festivals, logging festivals, strawberry festivals, even Shakespearean festivals. There's always something going on in Oregon. I guess that's why their slogan makes such good sense. Relax in a state of excitement. So if you've never been to Oregon, why don't you plan to spend your vacation there this summer? It's the best way I know to escape the jangle of the big city life, to breathe some clean, fresh air and see new things. And frankly, just a loaf. Oregon. Even the name sounds restful.
Did you say Shakespearean Festival, Jane? Yes, down the Willamette Valley from Portland, against a backdrop of woodland green in the Siskiyou foothills, your Oregon holiday can catch these timeless sounds.
She'll be married tomorrow, and I will bid the Duke to the nuptial. But oh, how bitter a thing it is to look into happiness.
Those immortal words are coming from America's first Elizabethan theater at Ashland, where, in a setting as green as Avon's turf, the world-famed Oregon Shakespearean Festival is held from July into September.
Doth not hear.
Pray you, no more of this. It is like the howling of Irish wolves against the moon. I will help you if I can. Tomorrow, meet me all together, as you love Rosalind meet, as you love Phoebe meet. And as I love no woman, I'll meet. So fare you well. I have left you command.
I'll not fail if I live.
Nor I.
Nor I.
Our final draft in this tonic of Oregon tones is appropriately introduced by another line from Shakespeare. How sweet the moonlight sleeps upon this bank. Here we will sit and let the sound of music creep into our ears. Each August, those sounds of music are heard from a woodland stage at Britt Gardens in Jacksonville. Now, while you dream of that Oregon holiday, listen to Haydn's Symphony No. 88 being played in Britt Gardens. Shakespeare and Haydn to skiing and sailing is a big leap, the kind you can only make in a state of excitement like Oregon. For it's only a few scenic hours from summer skiing on the slopes of Mount Hood to sailing on scores of Oregon lakes or golfing on some of those cool green courses Bing Crosby was reminiscing about. Try one of those courses along the Oregon coast, and you can break par on the 19th hole with a dip in a pool overlooking the pounding Pacific. Does Oregon sound like fun? You bet it does. So why not hit that Oregon trail? Come on up and relax in a state of excitement. And here's one more sound that'll help smooth the way to a happy holiday. That's right. Telephone ahead for reservations. Or look up Travel Agent in the Yellow Pages.
There we go. Oregon and Sound, fabulous journey to the Pacific Northwest featuring Jane Powell, Bing Crosby, and Mel Blanc from 1970-1971. Now, this was a disc that was sent to Happy Station in 1972 from a listener in Portland, Oregon. I don't know if it was ever used on the show. Have to look that one up. Be interesting if it was, and that means we played it the second time. Anyway, nevertheless, rather fun. One of the discs from the Happy Station Show archives, and there's some other very interesting recordings. There's one that I really like, but it's rather long. It's 1 hour, so I'm debating whether or not to split it up into two 30-minute segments or do it as a full show at some point. I know I had an idea. We can record it as a, we can actually record that as one of the emergency backup shows. That's one record. We have one record for the whole thing. Anyway. You are listening to Happy Station coming to you from PCJ Radio International. And that was the only thing, the only word that comes to mind about what we just took a listen to. It's wonderful. Yes, it's wonderful. Or maybe we can change that to so wonderful. Ray Conniff.
Oh,
So wonderful. Ray Conniff and his singers and orchestra. Last Sunday in Taipei, I came across a new vinyl shop, actually, called Vinyl Project. And it's located not far from the 101 area, and it's one that I had heard about before. So I called them up to see if they were open and decided to head over there. And a very interesting shop indeed. The walls are full of vinyl. There's one massive section of Beatles albums. Tables in the middle. And two turntables set up where you can listen to stuff before you buy it. A couple of open reel decks and many, many more. And it's a cafe, restaurant, and pub all at the same time. Very interesting place indeed. And I was thinking that one day we'll head over there with a microphone and do something about the place, because it is very interesting. It's absolutely fantastic. And Sunday evening, I actually had to be somewhere for a dinner engagement. So I didn't spend as much time there as I'd wanted to really go through things. So hopefully this weekend I'll make it there and spend a little bit more time. Now, there's quite a bit of talking on today's program, and I thought, let's play a little bit more music, so we'll keep the next few breaks very short. Let's all go to the Four Lads, and together, wherever we go.
Wherever we go, we'll never feel low, as long as we know it's together. We may not go far, but sure as a star,
Four Lads and Together Wherever We Go. And I just realized something as I was listening to that. It's a vocal group that had a backing vocal group. So I wonder if you can have a vocal group that has a backing vocal group that has another another back vocaling group. Interesting idea. I suppose if you did that, then it would just be a choir, wouldn't it? Anyway, there's actually a few people that signed up to our Patreon page, and sadly, I left the names with me somewhere, and I cannot find it, but we'll get them into next week's show. So here's some information about our Patreon site.
Hey, Happy Station Show. Calling listeners everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's your station of smiles across.
Hello, I'm Keith Perron, host of the Happy Station Show from PCJ Radio International, which next year will celebrate its 90th anniversary. Along with many new listeners that we have attracted over the last 7 years, there are also many of you that tune in who remember the Eddie Starts and Tom Meyer days.
Things are getting to be more improvised any minute. What was the name of this beautiful piece? Nobody knows. The trouble I've seen. Kiss it up.
Over the past few years, many of you have commented that you enjoy when we go into the archives and broadcast material that hasn't been heard in decades. With a number of people asking if the Happy Station Show and Radio Nederland archives will be made available. And guess what? Yes. That's right. Yes. The answer is yes.
Can you imagine when Happy Station was only 7 years old, you started listening?
I would like to invite you to become a patron at Patreon. At Patreon, you will be able to hear the latest Happy Station Show. And for those who are patrons, you will have full access to unedited Happy Station shows and Radio Netherlands content, both in sound and vision, from the past 89 years. All these sound recordings have been remastered from the original tapes and discs. And let's talk about films for a moment. That's right, Happy Station did produce some films. And we went back to this production studio and remastered them. Now just look at how the original 16mm print looked before. But after spending numerous hours going frame by frame, now look at it.
It was really only a hunch. I had an intuition that he had style enough.
Now, I know that many of you right now would like to see and hear these historical programs. Well, guess what? It's time for you to become a patron at Patreon. Those who become patrons at Patreon will be helping to support the digitization of all these tapes and films.
You cross your fingers, you hold your heart. It's curtain time and away we go. Another opening of another show.
And those who are patrons will also get rewards like rare music recordings, rare programs, books, and much more. Also, if we reach our goal of $200 a month, PCJ Radio International will produce special programs that will be broadcast on shortwave for you. So come on now, show your support today, become a patron at Patreon. For more information, visit www.patreon.com/PCJ Radio. Roger Whittaker whistling along from an album called Whistling the World with Swaggy, or as it's also known, Australian Whistler. I don't know why. I don't know. I have no idea why they would call that. But it's a very interesting album indeed. As you know, you may not know this, but Roger Whittaker is a phenomenal whistler. He's very, very good at the art. I've tried it myself a few times, and I end up making a fool of myself and doing myself a mischief. But anyway, you know what? We are completely running out of time. Time is flying by very, very fast indeed. So, if you wish to contact us, our email address is very simple. It's pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. That's pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. Once again, to remind you, next week's program for the 18th of February is going to be a special program for Chinese New Year, looking at the Year of the Dog. The Year of the Dog. And as we were putting it together, we were trying to think of songs or even bands that have the word dog in the title. Surprising, actually, there's quite a few of them. So we're going to try to play as many as we could next week, and also try our hands at giving a prediction for the Year of the Dog. And it's something that I want to do because that's my animal. Yes, I am a dog. Hence the reason why probably I have three of the beasts at home. I don't know why the cats are there, but only maybe because dogs like to chase cats. So I thought you need to have a set. You know, you need to have a set. actually, that doesn't happen, sadly. One of my new recent requisitions, I'll put it that way, I call him Stan. He's a little, I don't know what he is. He's a mutt, I suppose. He was actually afraid of the cats, which is rather funny because he's much smaller than the other two. My dogs are 18 kilograms and 32 kilograms, and he's only about 7. But he's afraid of the cats only because one of the cats is larger than he is. And it is funny when you see them side by side, a cat larger than a dog. Well, I suppose, yes. I mean, he's not a chihuahua or anything like that. He's just small and funny looking and has a funny looking face and funny eyes and ears. And oh, he's a real mutt, you know, a real, looks like a sci. I always said, well, yeah, he's a very strange looking dog. He's like a science experiment gone wrong or something, bad cloning. Anyway. Okay, so that's what we have coming up next week. Today we are going to leave with a group, actually a very popular group from Australia. Well, they were many years ago. The group is called Savage Garden, and it's one of their big hits, Truly, Madly, Deeply. So till next time, friends, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
I'll be